Hello to everybody out there. This is Dr. Mike Carberry from Advanced Medical Integration, and I have the honor today to be interviewing and talking with Norm Schrager, the senior strategist at PatientPop, a company that we use to help manage our online presence. Welcome, Norm.
Thanks, Dr. Carberry. Appreciate being your guest today.
Oh, it's an honor to have you. We're glad to have Norm on because, you know, there's a lot of change in healthcare and there's a lot of chaos in healthcare with a lot of the changes being implemented in the regenerative medicine market. And I'm just going to touch on that for a second to start, and then we're going to go into a couple other topics. But that topic is very, very electrified right now because the FDA, although it has no authority over managing human cellular tissue products, they can declare if they're safe or not, but they don't really require any type of license or approval for that. But they do have authority over your marketing. And what they've deemed is that using the word stem cell therapy requires a 351 license, which is a drug manufacturer's license, and you have to be working within some sort of university or study, and it needs to be a medical doctor, not a provider, not a mid-level provider. And so there's a lot of confusion on that. So the takeaway here is don't use the word stem cell therapy. Use the words regenerative medicine. Now, a few years ago, Norm, that was totally fine. Those words were totally fine. But as this type of service booms, there's new things happening. And a lot of doctors who aren't familiar with it are concerned, are we going to hurt people? Well, the good news is nobody gets hurt with regenerative medicine. But you got to watch using the word stem cell therapy. I always tell people, you know, be in contact with somebody like Norm because you have to update your website. If your website was made 3 years ago and it has those words on it, that's fine then, but it's not necessarily fine now. If your ads link people to a website that has the word stem cell therapy, I believe now Google and Facebook will not allow you to post those ads. So one of the reasons you need to be staying in contact with a company like PatientPop and somebody like Norm is so you can keep yourself current and compliant. Do you have any insight on that, Norm?
Yeah, I mean, the last thing that you want is to get dinged by Google. And yeah. So you mentioned they'll remove your ads or you'll get a warning. You wouldn't want anything on your website that's going to result in what's called delisting. You're working hard enough for your website to get found by the right patients based on what their search queries are. Google's the player. Google is 88% of the search engine market in the U.S. They're right. Responsible for 7% of all Google searches in the world are healthcare related. So this is where your audience is. And the last thing that you want is any level of sacrifice as to where you can end up in search results for your practice or you personally as a doctor or healthcare provider. So keeping up to date on the demands and the regulatory demands of your particular specialty, there couldn't be anything more important in terms of your branding and in terms of being able to be as visible as possible, not only to potential new patients, but to your current ones as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And both of those are important because we're going to talk about that in today's podcast, but, you know, repeat business, but also new business in the medical game. You know, chiropractors like to have maintenance care, and there's nothing wrong with maintenance care, but if you're trying to get somebody regenerative medicine, or you're trying to help them prevent a surgery or prevent maybe an opioid regimen, you need new patients because when you fix those people, they're not a candidate for that anymore. And so one of the things we tell our clients is you have to have a marketing strategy that continually brings you new patients. The good news or the bad news, depending upon how you look at it, is we live in a country where there's no shortage of those people. So they're out there. If you don't get them, they're going to get into those surgical procedures or worse yet, even opioid procedures are most likely both, because even though a lot of people think the opioid crisis is over, it is not. They are still handing them out like candy. My housekeeper in Oregon went to the hospital recently, and they wanted to give her an opioid for a stomach ache, and she refused. So you got to be careful and not let these people slip through the cracks. That's why you have to have a really good online presence to be able to capture this market. So let's talk about that. Norm, I was explaining to you a minute ago, we partnered with Cardone Ventures, Grant Cardone and Brandon Dawson, and mostly what we're doing there is helping our existing clients expand to levels they've never dreamed of, and we're doing it. We have a lot of our clients actually starting to do it, but this requires being able to get into the four pillars of business, which we talk about with our clients, and these are areas where doctors historically are not so strong when we rely on people like you. So I'll go over those four pillars real quick.
Sure.
It is finance. It is operations. It is marketing. And it is people. So we're going to talk about the marketing part of that today. You have some really good ideas that you sent to me on expansion through marketing. Let's talk about business expansion first.
Yeah, we're to start it off, Patient Pop is known as a practice growth solution, practice growth leader. That's the folk. Our focus is to help any healthcare provider thrive through the focus of practice growth. And we recently had surveyed providers to say, how do you define practice growth? And we gave, you know, we've heard of it as more patients, as a higher profit margin, as an expansion within the physical location, or maybe adding a location. And what we found is exactly what you're promoting to your practice, is that about 70% of the folks we talk to just define it as more patients. That means more business, and also it probably catapults opportunities to do all those other things sometimes. Because you're keeping your schedule busy, you're driving the need for more staff, you're driving the need for perhaps another location or another doctor to add.
Right.
So we see it very much as driving your brand, and as you said, driving your online presence as the way to get this done. The old methods of patient acquisition have been, our customers will tell us, they're so slow. Word of mouth is so slow.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like going door to door at this point. And when you can get online, you've got an immediate visibility to the folks in your area. Now, what's important to know about that is Google is very much about what's called local search. They feel Google search is doing their job when they can deliver information to the person searching for something as close as possible to them or within their neighborhood or geography. And there's numbers of ways that can be that's illustrated and that's displayed to the person doing the search. So I can start with this. You hear often best podiatrist near me, or top chiropractor zip code. And Google feels that they're succeeding if they're surfacing those folks that fit that query. So a couple of things that I can throw out there about web presence just on Google search. The first thing is, when you, for your practice or you personally, if you know that you're having folks searching for best blank, whatever your line of care delivery is, if that's the search term used, Google will immediately filter out any practice or provider whose online average star rating in their reviews is less than 4.
Wow.
So that's the default. You as the user can change that. And we just recently did a big survey with patients as to what they were willing to sort of threshold in terms of average star rating. And 4 is very much the majority of folks. 4 or higher is what they want to see from doctors.
Right.
So Google takes that upon themselves, not just for clinicians, but for any business. So that's a good thing to know. So that dovetails a little bit into really needing to manage online reputation.
Yeah.
So I'll go back a little bit. We can talk about online reputation in a bit, but I want to stick with web presence, because it's how you're talking about your services on your website. Your website is the only online destination that you really own every piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, as you mentioned, you need to be compliant and you need to follow best practices. But talk about the services when you're building your web pages. Talk about the services that you're best at, that you're best known for, that make up the patient base that you want to attract.
Yeah.
And one of the ways at Patient Pop, one of the ways we do that on the websites that we develop, is by asking basic questions and then answering them. Questions about conditions, questions about how particular procedures are done at your office or your practice. Not only does that give the website a lot of opportunity to talk about, for you to talk about those services over and over again in a very organic manner, but it's also hedging a little bit toward the way people search now, which is those longer questions. Where is the blank? How do you find out about X? And it sort of aligns with that a little more closely.
Right.
And that's the best opportunity, is to do that on your website and build that out. That leads to other places where you have a presence. Your Google business profile, your Yelp business profile,
right.
Facebook. There needs to be an ownership for that profile for your practice in each of those places. And then the most top line advice I could give about those is get as specific as possible. If you have an opportunity to ask questions and answer them again, which you do with Google, do it. Let folks come and see what you're talking about. And little by little, you've got a nice consistent visibility for those new patients, for folks that need your services and are looking within your area. If you raise that, you know, that sort of rising tide raises all ships, each of these little pieces, and then suddenly your practice as a brand, as a point of care delivery is in front of a lot more eyeballs who need it.
Right, exactly. You know, I don't know if you know this, but when I graduated undergrad school, I had a degree in marketing. And in 1983, in 1983, I got a job with the web managers of the 80s. I was working for a company called Reuben Donnelly, which was owned by Dun & Bradstreet, and we were selling the Yellow Pages. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things you're saying, we were concerned about back then. How do you impress people when they first see you? And we couldn't have the interaction that the internet has. We were consultants to businesses back then, and it was basically one ad that wasn't going to change for the whole year. Now you have something you can change and interact with people. It's much more complex. They need to have, I don't care how good a doctor is at doing their web page and creating a web page, they still need to hire somebody else to do it because they should be working on being a doctor, not doing their web page. So a couple things you said to me that just jumped right out. Like, for example, a lot of guys go, well, I have a referral-based practice. Well, I know for a fact from working in the Yellow Pages, sometimes people are looking for a referral and they lose the referral because they see a better ad. So you need to be speaking to those referrals on your webpage. You need to be able to interact. The more you can engage that patient in the interaction, the more likely they're going to pick up the phone and make an appointment or type in an appointment and come into your practice.
Yeah, and we also know that referrals are looking online to check out profiles and patient reviews and average star rating anyway.
Yeah.
It's really what we're doing is we're taking advantage of patient habits that have now become pretty well established online. If you think about the way you might look for, and of course saying this can sometimes sound as if you're diminishing the much higher value of patient care, but the attitude and the activity is the same online, if not a higher threshold of looking for quality, whether you're buying something off Amazon or you're looking for the best new restaurant on Yelp. The idea is the same, that folks are looking online. So even if they receive a referral from a primary doc, they're going to go online and see what that person's about. And you can be sure that in that interim, other similar doctors in the area are going to surface in those search results.
Yeah.
Maybe one's got a better looking reputation just by way of that average star rating and the number of reviews, and could, as you said, Yellow Pages now translated out, most likely to Google online.
Right. I can give you an opportunity to look at that.
Yeah, look at somebody else.
So I have a family member who's in their 90s who had severe back problems just this week. And they asked me to find a doctor for them that was in part of our group. So I did. But, you know, the first thing I did, and I didn't think of it till you mentioned it, I went online and looked at his webpage and looked at his rating before I said, let's go to this guy.
Yeah.
And he was one of our clients. So, yeah, you have to be prepared to present yourself in a way that people can go, I feel comfortable going to this practice.
Yeah, and those reviews are, we know for a fact, those reviews and photo albums are the primary sources of positive, you know, fantastic first impressions online.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, you have much more control over a photo album. Google will recommend treating your photo album as the online version of what folks can expect from quote unquote your brick and mortar. Remember, they work with a lot of businesses.
Right.
So the idea is that you're bringing your practice to life. So interior photos, exterior photos.
Exactly. And I looked at all those things. I looked at the exterior photos. I looked at the pictures of the clinicians.
Yeah.
Because I was mostly dealing with the one, and I wanted to see what the rest of the staff looked like. So all important stuff. And then just to, you know, if you don't pay attention to this, you're doing your business and your patients a disservice. You really need to be aware of that. So let's talk about something else that comes up at reputation management.
Yeah.
You guys do some of that. So, I mean, that's also a very important thing these days. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, that's a tremendous part of what that first impression is about. We know that of all the potential resources you can look for online to find out about a doctor, new or referred, the most influential element is reviews. And patient reviews are really the bulk of your reputation. So the first thing I can talk about reviews is there's three aspects. For better or worse, numerically, there's three aspects that are going to make the difference when you think about how it visually looks either above or below someone else in your market or your area that's offering the same services. The right. First is the total number of reviews. I won't get too much into the detail as to why, but you want at least 10 or 11, and that gives the potential patient enough to read to get a feel from other patients what the experience is like.
Right.
The average star rating, tremendous. Obviously, you need a minimum of 4 for the reasons we mentioned, mm-hmm. but you also want to be able to look an edge or a cut above everybody else, so 4.2, 4.3 at minimum. And the third part is what people call frequency or recency. What's the most recent review? And we know that folks will really only read the reviews from the last couple of weeks. And anything older than 3 months is ignored by, I think, 94% plus. It just doesn't even have any relevance anymore. So what we do as part of our service and what we recommend anybody to do, the only way you get feedback is to ask. So there are numbers of ways that you can do that. The way that we do it, our idea as a service is automate as much as possible for the practices so that they're either taking a manual task away and focusing on something higher value or adding something at an automated level that didn't exist at the practice in the first place. So it's either productivity or efficiency. So what we'll do is send out automated surveys to each patient following an appointment. It usually comes over text or email within about 3 hours of the appointment start time. And it's very simple and basic and just asks if they had a positive experience. But it does lead folks to say, you know what, I'm gonna post a review on their website, or I'm gonna go where I like to post reviews. Google, of course, is we have data that says Google's number one for that as well. Mm-hmm. But we know from data that 22% more likely to give feedback simply if they're asked. Now, obviously there can be a little sensitivity sometimes for if you don't do it in an automated fashion, if you've got a long trusted long-term patient and then suddenly you're asking them, oh, could you let us know what you think? Some will appreciate it, and you know, it's sort of like asking for patient pay sometimes, where you're suddenly having a stronger or a more aggressive in-office strategy to collect patient obligation, that can have sensitivities as well. So to right. be able to automate that and put that out to as many patients as possible, you start to see those reviews come in sort of organically because you're asking for feedback. The other thing we say about feedback too is listen to it. If you've got a fairly repetitive piece of constructive criticism about your practice, maybe you could look into it and raise that patient satisfaction for exactly what it is they're talking about.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And that's a lot of reputation management. There's so much emphasis by patients and by consumers in general placed on reviews that's really the crux of managing your reputation across the board, knowing that you're delivering enough a satisfactory experience. So it's your website and it's folks writing reviews on Google and Yelp and HealthGrades and WebMD and wherever it is that they might choose to do that.
And I know you help us with that. You want to explain how you help your clients with that. I know you already touched on it, but.
Yeah. It really, the crux of it really is the automated surveys. So okay. For those practices, it's automatic if they're using online scheduling. For every patient that schedules using an online tool, it automatically goes to them. And in many instances, we can integrate what we do with the practice's EHR. And in that particular instance, we can send to everybody no matter how they booked an appointment, as long as they've got an email address or a place that they opted to receive a text, we can just send it to everybody.
Okay, good. So the other thing you were talking about is optimizing your digital presence mm-hmm. and driving business at your practice. So you want to touch on that?
Yeah, digital. The best thing about digital presence that everyone can remember if they don't have a lot of time and they want to just do some best practices and touch-ups on their own is consistency. Because if Google and other search engines see that your information is consistent across all of your profiles, across everywhere that you're mentioned, there's a much greater chance that they say, you know what, this is a real business. This is legitimate. We've got the same information everywhere. And most important, we as Google or Bing or whomever are not going to surface incorrect information. It's far less likely to be incorrect if it's consistent. So what we suggest is for practices or providers to go everywhere that there's a profile of them, claim that. So you're basically telling Google or Facebook or Yelp, this is my business. And then making sure that all the information is super tight, clear, absolutely consistent and accurate. So one way to think about that at the baseline is what they refer to as NAP, N-A-P. That's your practice name, your address, and your phone number. If those three things are consistent everywhere, you're off to a fantastic start. And good. Then the way that you talk about your practice, your services, the specificity of your services, make that consistent everywhere that you can. And that really highlights I keep using the word consistent, but it's the right one. More likely to have a greater visibility because you have a stronger, more consistent presence out there everywhere where your name is.
Good. Well, it's important to have all this because, you know, it is, as we said, much more complicated than it was before. We talked about a lot of things. Is there anything else you want to bring up that we haven't covered in the first part of this?
I think that one of the things to remember is, and we certainly talk about this a lot when we talk to practices, we talk to prospective practices that are interested in a practice growth solution, is that the idea is not to limit your thinking of a patient as a single episode of care. We sort of draw it as a loop that after that appointment, after you've brought conveniences to the patient for them to find you and you deliver care and you deliver a positive experience, make sure you've got communication to stay in touch with them. And there's numbers of strategies that you can do that with, but that you're thinking of the lifetime value of a patient for your practice. And right. In return, the patient's receiving the lifetime value of consistent care delivery from you. And therefore you've got a retention strategy that's as strong, if not stronger, than your acquisition strategy.
Right.
And that's a very big way that we think about delivering care, that it's not just booked you, appointment, billed, done. It's what's next for you as a patient, whether it's preventive care or follow-up or therapeutic. And that's a big part of how we created a solution that is what we call end-to-end. It doesn't stop at that first appointment.
Right. You know, when you talk about retention to a chiropractor, a lot of times they have a lot of different ideas on that. Some of those ideas are maintenance care.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Other ideas are care plans. And so, you know, what we always point out is we actually, maintenance care is a great thing, but it is one of the things I know from doing surveys with marketing companies that people are afraid of. They don't understand maintenance care. If we market that initially, they're thinking we're trying to sign them up for life and they don't want to sign up for life.
Right.
Being married to a physical therapist, I know it's important to have a care plan. How long is it going to take this person to get rid of this problem? And managing that is one thing. But what we're talking about here is after that's done, how do you stay in contact with that person? Because they're probably going to need other medical services later in life, which is true. We've noticed that when somebody comes in and their big issue is their knee problem, and they're not sure if we're going to be able to help them, but that's the thing that's just ruining them. And we help them with that knee problem. All of a sudden they start going, well, my back is a problem. My shoulder's a problem. Maybe I should address them as well. And having that presence is just as important. And it is a cyclical relationship. It also is the same way with referrals from these people as well. So I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. And one of the ways that we found that's effective is running email campaigns with parts of your, it sounds like a large volume, but if you think of your entire patient base as a patient population and that you can striate them and know that your knee people, I'm going to use your example without knowing what I'm talking about, but your knee people are that much more likely to also have a shoulder issue. You can build an email campaign, so to speak, an email communication to just that group and let them know you're checking in with them.
Right.
And watch some of the communication come in.
Sometimes just letting that patient know there's an open door for them is what brings them in later.
Yeah,
and staying connected like that is a brilliant thing to do. So we've talked about a lot of different things today, and touch on a couple different ideas, the regenerative medicine rules coming from Medicare, and make sure your sites are updated. That when you're addressing the public, remember their favorite topic is them and not you, and that's talking right. about your new laser is not always the best strategy. Talking to them about their condition that they have is, because they're more interested in that than you. And then how to manage your reputation, because when that person, whether a referral or not, goes and checks you out online, you have to stand out in a way that they go, I feel comfortable with this referral. I feel comfortable going to this person. And then basically just having that cyclical relationship so that they'll come back over and over again for all their problems in the future. That's what we're really trying to accomplish here.
Yeah, correct? That's great retention right there. I agree.
Yeah. Well, Joe, or I'm sorry, well, Norm, it was great talking to you today. You've given us a lot of insight on things. I will just point out that in this world of business, there's so many aspects to it that if you're a doctor, you should really be focusing on what a doctor focuses on and bring in experts like Norm and his company, Patient Pop, to be able to manage your presence, help you with your reputation and all the things we talked about today, because you don't want that new patient line to dry up. There's plenty of people that need your help. It's just a matter of getting connected to them.
Yeah.
So Norm, thanks for being part of this podcast today. And how do people get in touch with you if they're interested in talking to you?
Well, the best thing to do is go to patientpop.com and hit any of the buttons that'll get you to somebody who's going to know more than me, actually, and be able to show you around the product if they'd like. But if anyone wants to get to me personally, it's norm.schrager@patientpop.com. I'd be happy to answer your questions or point you to the right folks.
Okay, great. Thanks for being part of this today, Norm. And you've been listening to Dr. Mike Carberry with Advanced Medical Integration. See you next time.